You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
You're in your Bibles. I know we just prayed. Let's pray one more time. Father, I want to thank you for these dear people. I love them. I thank you for their love for thee. I pray that God, you'd speak to our hearts as we're going through this book of Ephesians. We thank you for its richness. We thank you for the truth that it holds for our Christian life. And I pray that tonight, as we walk out of here in a few moments, that we'll be a better Christian as a result of hearing this word of God tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Did you notice three times in this text we saw the word walk? Now, much ago I spoke on the walk because it's a familiar word in the book of Ephesians. And as we're going through Ephesians, we saw walk, walk, walk. Walk, what is walk? Walk, the Christian life is a walk. It's not a sprint. Let me say that again. The Christian life is a walk. It's not a sprint. I can remember a boy in high school. He got saved about 10th, 11th, or 12th grade, and he came into our youth group all on fire, and he could preach right off the bat. I mean, he was all fired up, but he was so zealous. He was against everything and just trying to get us all. And he lasted about 1 year, and then he died on the vine. I've often wondered if he really had Bible salvation or if he just had emotion. The walk with a Christian is a walk. To walk means to make progress. My question for you, Brother and Mrs. Funk, it's good to have you here on Mother's Day today. But a walk, are you making progress? Amen. I've analyzed this in my own life this past week, knowing that I'd be in this text for the last few weeks. I've looked at it. Have I made progress in my Christian life? Am I a better Christian today than I was last year? Am I a stronger Christian than I was 10 years ago? God wants me to make progress. And so he says, Jack, I want you to walk making progress. I want you to see this progress tonight as we begin. I want to ask you on the subject, how's your walk? And look what the Bible says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Let's read verse 2 together. Ready? Walk in love. Stop right there. Try it again. Walk in love. One more time. Walk in love. Love is the foundation of every relationship. Yeah. This church is just an amazing church. I just love this church. But God's people love this church. Amen. I see people come back all the time that have been gone. They moved away and they come back to visit. And they'll see the same people singing. Now they see their kids or their offspring, or they'll see other folks that we've added to it. But I'm so very thankful that we have so many people that have stayed and stayed true to God. And the Bible says, walk in love. Love has been the theme of this church. It's the theme of the bus ministry. It's the theme of the music ministry. Love is the theme of worldwide missions. Amen, amen, amen. I'll do my own amen if I have to. But love is the theme of everything. Every usher ushers in love. Every sound man works in the sound ministry and the live stream in love. Every Sunday school teacher, I don't have to tell them to love their students. They love their students. And God says, I want you to walk. I want you to make progress, Jack, in your walk with me. 1 John 4:8, for God is love. If God is in my life, I'm going to have more love this year than I had last year. Amen. You know, I don't want to bring it up all the time, but I'm older in life, and we all know that. But I tell you what, I love God's people. I love them. I want to stay with you a lifetime. I mean, a lot longer than God's given me right now. I want to stay right here. I want to love God's people. I want to love the staff. I want to love the deacons. I want to love the ushers, the Sunday school teachers, the bus workers. I want to love the mechanics. I want to love the drivers. I want to love all God's people. I have no desire to sue anybody. I have no desire to get even with anybody. I have no desire to criticize people that go on the internet and trash us and all that stuff. I have no desire. I don't even know what's going on. Someone texted me today and said, do you know what they're saying about you? And my wife got it. And at least they're talking. I don't know what they're saying about me, so don't tell me. But you know what? My goal is to love everybody. I want to have a progress in my life. I want to have progress. And the Bible says of this, it, look what it says. Walk in love as Christ hath loved us. So it has to be a Christ-like love. Watch it. And he given himself an offering, a sacrifice to God. Watch it. For a sweet smelling savior. A savior. What's a sweet smell? Well, it's what Noah did. Noah went on the ship, on the big boat that he built. My wife and I went with our kids years ago to the big ark in, I think it's in Kentucky. I don't know where it is, but Kentucky, I believe. And it was just an amazing thing to see the ark. And as we saw that ark that Noah built, and he spent so many years building it, I wonder on the real ark if you'd see hatchet marks, because God shut the door and the water started coming from beneath and above. They'd never seen rain before. It was a firmament that watered the earth like a mist, that God missed everything day and night. And that night began to rain. I wonder if people are trying to get in. They say they found that ark in Turkey. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I recall an astronaut, I've told you this before, he met me and we became fast friends. And he said, Jack, I want you to go with me to Turkey. And right before, I wasn't going to go, but right before his going, he died. And he said, we found the ark. We're going to go make an expedition of the ark. The ark, Noah was in that ark for all that longer than a year. He's in that ark. And it finally lands. And the first thing that Noah does, the first thing he does, he makes an offering to the Lord, the unclean and the clean animals. And God said to those clean animals, it is a sweet smell. He said, I've just destroyed the whole earth. You and your eight kids are left, your family, there's eight of you left. And he said, the first thing you're doing, you're worshiping me. And it smells so sweet what you're doing. That's what the Christian life, our walk ought to smell sweet to others. It ought to smell sweet because we are based our Christian faith on love. The Bible said, walk in love. Amen. It's a gift of thanks. It's a sweet smell. It's a gift of gratitude. You know, I don't want to just have gratitude at Thanksgiving. I want to be happy and thankful every day.
Amen.
You know, when I wake up in the morning, almost one of my first thoughts, I wake up and I think, Lord, you had my heart pumping all night long, 4 ounces of blood with every beat. You did that for me. God, I stayed alive. I'm alive. I'm alive for another day. God, I offer this day to you. I don't know, it may be my last day to live. If it's my last day, Lord, may I bring glory to your name. May I bring praise to your name. May I live like a sweet smelling savor to you. And may it be sweet that you smell from the life of Jack Cheever. Not bitter, not harsh, not cruel. Hey, I know it's Mother's Day, but some of you dads, you better wake up. I want to be careful how I say this. I deal with dads that have abused their children all the time. I feel badly, and one day I'll get old and die, and a next pastor come in. It's going to be a load that's too heavy for them, folks. I'll tell you, I don't tell my wife, I don't tell the church, but it's going to be a load too heavy for them. It's going to be too heavy to hear of all the sin every day. The sin of adultery, but the sin of abuse is such a rampant situation right now. Dad's abusive. Dad's narcissistic. Dad's crazy. Dad's slapping around kids. I was in an appointment just today, and I got thinking about a young girl. I called somebody this past week. I said, that girl sang with you in a trio years ago. I recall when she couldn't come back to school one semester because she had to wait 3 weeks for the bruises on her face to heal. Her dad was a preacher of the gospel. What a hypocrite. She's out of the ministry now. That girl got married and then they divorced, and she's as wicked as could be right now. And by the way, I'm not justifying her wickedness. I'm saying it's understandable. Being abused by a father who's a preacher of the gospel, slapped around, kicked around, hit around as an adult, as a child. My wife had a paddle hung up for us, and we never used that paddle, but she said, never slap a child in the face. God has provided a better place. When spanking, my dad said, I remember my dad told me all the time, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, son. Did your dad ever say that to you? I thought, Dad, you're lying to me. It's not going to hurt you like this is going to hurt me. My twin sister Jill and I, one time we were little, I think probably about four, and Dad was going to come home and spank us, and we piled books in our backside. I'll never forget when he turned us over, we had those books, and he just laughed and let us go. Tried it the next time, he didn't let us go. But I remember my dad said, son, this hurts me so much to have to spank you. And I got spanked, and I always got angry. Oh, I got so angry at my dad, spanking me. And then he'd always make me sit on my bed and said, son, I want you to just think about what you've done. And when you're done, I want you to come back out. And let's just hug one another and we'll keep on going. My dad never had a class in child rearing. I'd sit there and I'd steam. I'd just get upset. I'd go out and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I can remember him saying, son, why don't you go back and think it over again? The last time, I think I was about 9 when I got my last spanking, maybe 8. I tell you what stopped my spankings for me. My dad spanked me. And he said the same thing, y'all. He said, this is going to hurt me some more than it's going to hurt you. And I got off his knee and tears were streaming down his face. He was so brokenhearted that he had to spank me. And I said, I'm never going to have that man cry again over my life. I was aged about 8 or 9. Are you being abusive, Dad? Are you being abusive with your tongue to your wife? We've got ladies here tonight. No lady ought to live in an abusive situation. No lady signed up for abuse. My wife didn't sign it. She's in the nursery tonight. She's hearing me right now probably, but perhaps. She didn't sign up to be abused by me. Verbally. You sit down. Shut your mouth and listen to me, woman. She didn't sign up for that. Keep your mouth shut, fellas, if you can't speak kindly. Keep your mouth shut if you're Mr. Negative. Everything's negative, 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 negative. Your kids are going to inherit that. God says, I want you to walk in love. I want you to make progress in love. How are you doing loving your children? I saw the Felixes sing this morning. I got thinking, they're already done raising their kids. I remember your wedding. And now their kids are married and one's expecting. And I just, how'd that happen? How did it happen, Brother Alvin? He was in college here and working our maintenance, and then became a staff member, then had a baby, and that baby just married. How'd that happen so quickly? You have a window with these kids. Here's Sister Reagan down here, our granddaughter, going to be a junior in high school. Her sister going to be in 7th grade. She's the baby of the family. And they're just thinking these kids are all grown. Just had another grandson graduate from Bible college last week. Got a great grandbaby coming any day now. How does that happen? I want to walk in love. The second walk, he said, in verse 8, ye were in sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I'm to walk in love. I'm to walk in light. I'm to walk how? Number one, what? Love. Secondly, I'm to walk what?
Light.
Light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Our walking shows up in verse 4. Neither in light, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking. That's empty words. Filthiness, dirtiness. Filthy talking or jesting. Jesting is making every conversation evil. And so we take a conversation, we turn it into negativity and evil and sin and wrong, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He said, I want you to be like sweet smelling savor, a thanksgiving offering with your light. Look at verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. He says, okay, if you're walking in the light, you're going to have the spirit of fruit of Spirit. What is Galatians 5:22? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, faith, goodness. God says, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit tonight? Are you walking in the Spirit? Do you have love in your heart? Do you have goodness? Do you have meekness? Do you have faith? Do you have these things in your life? God says, I want to see some progress. So verse number 9, he says, I want you to have the fruit of the Spirit. Verse number 11, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. When we're walking with the light, we don't want to walk with unfruitfulness. I think of the issue of the day, which is invading our churches. I get so weary of it, pornography. And it's in here perhaps by the hundreds tonight. Where God's people are giving themselves over to a phone or to a computer or something, that you're seeing things you should never, ever see as a Christian. And so then you get right, and you're going to get right, and you do good for a week or two, and then you're back at it all the time. God said, you're having fellowship with unfruitful unrighteousness. It's going to grab you. It's going to ruin you. God's word goes on to say, verse number 12, for it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. We're walking in darkness, and it's a shame the things that we're doing in the name of Christianity. Yeah. It's a shame. Yes. Amen. So I said, I want you to walk in love. Jack, just make progress in your love toward your mate, toward your family, toward your children, toward your grandchildren, toward the church, toward the world, toward the liberals. Just walk in love. And then I want you to walk in light. And then there's a third one. He says in verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly. To walk circumspectly means you're walking very wise. You know, you don't have to have a PhD or the nine college graduates. You don't have to be a college graduate to have wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God. I believe I pray for the Holy Spirit and wisdom more every day than any other subject in my life. I begin every appointment with praying for wisdom, and I close for wisdom. Wisdom's the principal thing. I have to have wisdom. I have to have discernment. I have to have discernment when I'm dealing with people and this person is weeping and crying and they're just deceiving me. I have to have wisdom. And sometimes I'll call them, and I hate to do it. It's hard for me to do. But I said, I see your tears. But I want to ask you a question. Are those tears sincere, or is that just a game with me right now? Is that serious? Is that real? I've got some things I can tell that are always, I can always tell. I can always tell. I am not the smartest man in this room. When it comes to wisdom, I believe God's given me wisdom. Amen. I can read people. I can tell. Sometimes I'll finish an appointment. I say, Lord, I was just lied to the whole time. And I know I was. Just lied to. But help me to love those people. Do good to them. God says, I want you to walk circumspectly. Verse number 15. Not as fools, but as wise. Wise people, verse 16, redeem the time. Summer's upon us, and I've pled with our college boys before they left. I say, boys, please, I know you're going to just think I'm old, but don't waste 1 minute of your time this summer on playing video games. I deal with men, grown men who have families that can't get off the game deals and whatever they call them. I can't believe we got adult men wasting their time on these video games. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Go to prayer. If you have that much time, go to prayer. If you have that much time, go get a second job. You have that much time, go pick up gardening. You got that much time, come down here and work. We'll put you to work. I'm telling you, child of God, God says in verse number 16, redeem the time, buy up the time, purchase the time, make value use of your time. I go back and I pray that God lets me live many, many years. But I've already outlived what God's word said. He said, teach us to number our days. You're going to live to be about 70, 25,550 days. And you may live to be 80. I can't waste a minute right now. I cannot waste a day. Sometimes in my life, I'll go through my life and I'll say, Lord, I feel like I just wasted that half hour. I didn't get anything out of it. I've got to buy up all the time I can buy because I'm running out of time. And you might be running out of time. Brother Steve and Stevie, their mom was last week, she was supposed to come on Easter Sunday, and they might be in the hospital watching, and I was preaching on the 11th hour. I said, some of you, and by the way, we had someone the next morning in the hospital clinging for life. I said, some of you, your 11th hour is right now. You've got to get right with God. And now just a few weeks later after Easter, last Monday, they came and they said, you have two brain tumors and you're filled with cancer. You have about 30 days left to live. And I tell you, she's been so open to the gospel. And she got saved and wonderfully got saved. Just the sweetest, sweetest lady that you can ever imagine. But she's losing her time. Unless God provides a miracle, she's lost her time. And some of you, tomorrow, the doctor's going to tell you something. You're going to drop over. You're going to be ambulanced somewhere tomorrow or this week. But there's going to be an issue, and you're running out of time. And yet we live as if we have forever. God says, when you're walking carefully, you're buying up all the time you can do. Verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You never live with feelings. You always live with fact. Most people take their Christianity and they move from feelings to fact. That's not how it's done in the Bible. Ye shall know the truth. That's the fact. Ye shall know the truth. That's the fact. And the truth shall set you free. That's the feeling. And so a lot of times churches, they get all wound up because the singing's good, exciting, and all this. But it's feeling over fact. You want fact first, and the feeling always comes. You know, we have these three kids, and we love our kids so much. They called their mom today. And you know, as I think of their lives, I think of Tabitha, who's here. I have gone from fact to feeling with Tabitha, because the fact is I pray for her throughout every day. I love her. My life is in her. But consequently, because I love her and I'm moving from fact, I can move to feeling. I see her, I can give her a hug. I can give her a kiss. I can tell her I love her. Why? Because I've moved from fact to feeling. And if you're moving from fact, there's always a feeling. Well, you say, I'm not that way. I'm not expressive. Well, then you're not a good Christian, because that's what Christianity does. Tonight, we're looking at a walk. How's your walk? I said this about a month or two ago. I remember Priscilla, her favorite song. I said it a month ago. I'll say it again. Walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way. Walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus, my Lord. I'm just going to make progress this week. That's what God wants you to do. Just make progress. Father, I love my people so much. I'm just so honored to be their friend and be their pastor. And I try to help them. Lord, I've tried to help them with preaching today. I thank you for the Word of God, your Word. Thank you for the fact that you tell us three times how to walk in Ephesians 5. We're to walk in love. We're to walk in light. We're to walk circumspectly, carefully, with wisdom.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.